Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place. The point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 60. Dr. Robin Kira is the founder of Digital Scouting and is known for his market insights. He was one of the earliest persons to discover the InsurTech unicorn Lemonade and predicted the entry of Amazon into the insurance industry. Among other things, this made him one of the best known and influential persons in the finance and insurance industry, a renowned keynote speaker and sparring partner behind the scenes. Dr. Robin Kira, what a pleasure to have you here. Hi.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited.
I'm so happy to have you here and to have this conversation. I just shared with our audience what you've done until now. And I would like to ask you to share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Well, I founded Digital Scouting, which is a platform for entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and social and senior managers in large companies or small companies, to where they can share their best practices and their lessons learned. And it started as a hobby, and now it really has exploded in a positive way. And that's what I'm doing, besides my talking at conferences a lot and doing some sparring partner behind the scenes and trying to help insurers, because the insurance industry is my main industry.
You took a specific domain that you really cover, isn't it? You are mainly concentrate in new technologies in the world of financial and insurance and so on, or every new technology?
Well, the idea is to support and to look and scout technology that really can help corporations to excite their customers, to excite their clients, to bring value to them. So it's not a research and development of trends that might happen in 20, 30, 40 years, but it's more what is going to happen and hit the markets in the next 3, 5, 7 years, and how could companies use that to excite and inspire the customers.
Are you doing the research by just what you think you should search and then bring it to the corporates, or you are doing researches for the corporates and scouting for the new technologies specifically for each corporate?
Well, most of my scouting I give away for free. So when I'm around the world, when I'm in the MENA region, in Asia, in America, in Europe, and I'm at conferences, events, or even behind the scenes events, I share a lot of that. So maybe I do a little video documentation about it. I write articles about what I see. I recently wrote something about WeChat, the Chinese super app, I share then my insights afterwards. So actually I give away most of that for free for the audience to have a look at it and to participate in that. And it's more, so my audience is my main target there. And what I sometimes do when people ask me, oh, don't you want to come and visit us and have a little session with us and let us know what you think about our issues. And that would be then more like for the corporate side. But in general, most of the things I see, I share for free.
And where are you heading? What are the plans? What do you plan to do?
Well, the thing is that, of course, I have a dream and a vision where things should head. But the success of Digital Scouting has been so surprising and so energetic that I cannot predict anything. The background to that, Digital Scouting started actually as a small hobby project, and which now, employs around the world a whole team of people supporting that.
How did you start with that? How did it come to your mind?
Well, for years I've been sharing content, articles I found interesting on social media, especially on LinkedIn and Xing, which is a German LinkedIn, and I got a lot of good feedback from it, and I always we're not afraid to call out the elephant in the room. And especially in the financial industry, you have a lot of elephants in the room. You have a lot of people being in the braking business, you know, being on the brakes all the time and not changing things. And in times where the change in society is dramatic, and then the most dangerous thing you can do is to don't do nothing. But again, in these two industries, there is a little bit of culture of doing that. And even though if all people in the room know actually what should be done and could be done, and a lot of people are not, don't have the audacity to speak out and say, well, we should change things. And I always did that in a very polite and respectful way. I got very slowly a lot of followers on these platforms. And suddenly a journalist in some blog called me out as one of the influencers in Europe. I actually needed to look up what that meant. But it was something positive. Yeah, it was really funny. I really was like, okay, is that something good or something bad? So I that accelerated things. But when I published my homepage, Digital Scouting, as a platform, that's where things actually really exploded. Maybe to tell you a story, I once looked at a social media analytics tool, and my wife just was there, stood beside me, and I said, oh, look at the number. And it was like the monthly reach of 17 million, which is like for an individual or a small team, like unbelievable, or several hundred thousand impressions at Twitter. Things like that happen. Or I don't know, I wrote an article on Amazon entering the insurance industry in Germany, and it became the most read article of the year in Germany in the insurance industry.
Wow.
Things like that happened. And this all led to more traction and more invitations to keynotes, and keynotes leading to invitations to behind the scene talks lead to projects. Like, it has been an insane, I would say not roller coaster ride, but more like a rocket ride.
Oh, tell me a few words about the previous things you've done, because you came from financial, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been working a long time in the finance and insurance industry. I work for large insurers as well in the sales department. So I really actually sold insurances on the couches of the people. And that's why I really know the processes and the current state of the art there, which is quite non-digital, which is actually has involves a lot of paper. And then I actually went to this to a department close to the board of the company, and I did a lot of IT project there. So I know really the world outside. I know the world inside the insurance business. And I also worked for a smaller regional player, which was years behind the other ones. And I'm actually right now work for a private bank and lead there in the digital subsidiary, the product development.
Who are your customers are? You say that most of the things you're doing for free, but I'm sure you also have customers. Who are your customers?
Yeah, so my passion is actually the audience, the innovators in corporates, founders of startups, or entrepreneurs of established companies to support them in their endeavor and to play the role that they can go to their, you know, advisors or bosses and say, look, I'm not the only person making plans about implementing artificial intelligence, but, you know, this Robin guy is talking about it all the time too. Or maybe we should innovate in the way we treat customers, as, you know, this and that startup does that, for example, I mentioned then. So that's my main audience is really the people there. Of course, I support corporates in two ways. First, as a sparring partner for their digital strategy, for their plans to set up ecosystem of digital products and services, to give them away that to their customers for free. And in the end, I also help them in their communication strategy, because once a board member of a large insurer said, Robin, how can it be that you have a larger audience and a larger reach than my 40 people PR department? And they're like, I always say, if you want to win against Bayern Munich in soccer, it's really easy. Just don't play soccer against them. Play chess or gymnastics. What I want to say with that is that if you as a smaller player want to win the game in your industry, I strongly believe it's important to not play with the rules and not to do it as it has always done, but to look for the competitive advantage in the tools and tactics that your dominant forces in that your market don't apply, and look for the little bit of extra. And that's where I help them. I, for example, help a smaller insurance to rebrand itself as an insurtech or as a tech-driven company. Of course, they had done their homework. They did a lot of reorganization, implementing new, really impressive technology. But their problem was that nobody actually knew that. So I played a part in their communication efforts and supported that, and actually supported them also in deciding to go not the traditional route, or actually going down the guerrilla marketing, guerrilla communication route.
Wow. You know, this podcast is all about entrepreneurs and startup founders, and I want to ask you for your best advice regarding your connection with customers. This can be either from the last years or even earlier in your career, but please give our listeners your best advice for their customers' approach and focus.
I would say love your customers, not your products. And it's tendency of a startup's founder or senior managers that I've quite interesting how many people love the products they produce. What do I mean with that? It's that they are so convinced of the success of a certain product or a platform or the content that they sometimes get lost in it. And I would say love your customer, and always ask where is the attention of your customer, where's the desires, the fear, the needs that you can address. So my biggest secret is to love your customer, not your product, and then give most of your knowledge away for free. Help your customer, provide them an ecosystem of products and services, digital or not, and give away for free. That doesn't mean if you're a car salesman to give away the cars for free.
Sure.
But it's more that if you have a community of car enthusiasts, people that love cars, then to provide them with a lot of knowledge about maybe how can I change tires in this 58 BMW, and then help them with tutorials, with tips, where could I drive in my region? So, and then to create a whole ecosystem around your company as a brand, but also as a people that help, a company that helps people in their problems, or that, you know, shares joy and generates joy, and to really, really give away a lot for free to your customers and share your knowledge. I think the times of silos is over.
I love that. I love that. I agree with you 100%. I know you have got a lot of successes, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I would like to ask you to share with us, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial or your business journey the most. Can you share this story with us?
Yeah, well, I think I kind of I have like a whole list of failures and mistakes that's longer every day. And my biggest one, or this is the one I regret the most, I would say, is at the very beginning when I was started to speak at conferences, that a lot of startups came to me and asked for help. And of course, you know, on a coffee or a Coke, I'm always very happy to, you know, chat a little bit. That's not the issue. But a lot were like wanted more support and more help. And I just weren't able to deliver that. I did not even think about, you know, hey, we can have regular calls, or we can have some mentorship thing there. And it took me like a lot of requests I were not able to deliver on. That at some point, a friend of mine told me, when I said, oh, all these people are asking me, and I don't know, what should I do? And he said, well, you know, just, you know, have a regular call yourself a mentor. And then I was really, that was really like an aha moment for myself, where I said, okay, maybe I should do that. So I maybe use this opportunity to tell all the startup founders that I could not help over the last years. I'm sorry. And now I understand what to do. I actually support several of them now.
That's interesting. So you think the customers suffer as well, isn't it?
Yeah, because some way, you know, there are customers, even though, you know, there's no revenue stream going on. I did not understand the desire of the customer, that situation. I didn't even see this person as a customer or a person one could collaborate with. And I think maybe others have that too.
Now I would like to ask you, what is your biggest success due to the right customer approach or focus? Tell us the story of your greatest, your most significant success as a result of something that you did right with your customers?
So I spent some time in Midland, Texas as a high school student when I was very, very young. And my host father's dad, he was a car dealer. And in the 60s and 70s. He had a person cleaning the cars every day. And one day this person came to the car shop and to the car dealer. And nobody of the salespeople talked to this person because, you know, this was the guy known as the person who cleans the cars. And my host daddy's dad went to him and said, oh, you know, Jose, I thought you are, you know, it's your day off. What are you doing here? And he said, oh, well, I'm here to buy a car. And the host dad's dad said, well, you know, we have some great, you know, secondhand cars down there, used cars. Let's go there. I will give you a killer price. And Jose said, no, I'm not here to buy a used car. I want a new car. And he, you know, got into his pocket and bought his big pile of cash. And the main story of that is that my host daddy's dad went then to the other salesman and said, you know, see this $500, which was quite a lot of money back in the days. This commission could be yours. What is the lesson of this story? You never know who is your customer. You never know who's going to buy, who is your customer. And I actually applied this all the time, except for these startup founders I, you know, didn't get on my radar correctly. So if a person asked me, hey, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Xing or wherever, hey, let's have a coffee, let's have a talk, or I'm in Hamburg, let's meet up, I'm always doing it. I'm always doing it. If not, you know, and there's like, if it's somehow possible, I do it.
Sure.
And my biggest success actually is that I work in the Schanze in Hamburg, which is a quite rundown part of town. It becomes hipster, but actually in the core, it's quite rundown. And I have like several senior managers, even C-suits of large insurers or smaller banks coming around and having lunch with me. And one actually once said to me, you know, Robin, I actually rescheduled an appointment in a pitch with BCG and McKinsey because I wanted to talk to you. And that was when I was like, okay, things are getting to become real.
Wow, I love that. It is a great story. I also love the story with the car cleaner. Can you recommend the best or most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focus, marketing or sales that you use? I'm not looking for the last shiny technological tool to add to the endless list, but I do look for those tools that the successful entrepreneurs, the successful people, the opinion leaders like yourself are using.
I fear that I need to disappoint you because I believe the key is not a fancy shiny tool, as you said. I think the main key is an open mind. I think the main key is really to be customer focused, to always think about how can we make life easier of these people who we want to serve. There are a ton of tools out there. You can use a lot of tools in a positive way. You can use tools in a negative way. I'm coming from software development side, and I know so many companies that use ticket systems where you can assign work packages. And whole departments of dozens of people are employing themselves with reassigning tickets all the time. And other companies use the same technology and are very efficient because they have great people and in a culture of trust and in a culture of innovation and achievement. I think in the end, it's, you know, an open mind of yourself and in general to have a non-toxic, positive culture at your company where you that attracts a lot of great talent.
What a great recommendation. I might say that nobody ever said it. Open mind. The closest we had was Jeremiah Gardner that said that his tool is a cup of coffee with the customer.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
But I love the open mind one. I think it's correct. Is there any person that you can recommend? It can be either a mentor, a consultant, an advertiser. It can also be a book. But if there is a person, it's always more interesting. Is there any person that really impact your customer success and can help other entrepreneurs as well?
Yeah, a bunch. I listen to a lot of podcasts on my way to work. I consume a ton of content on social media, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. But some people that really, really had opened my mind on certain things, for example, Brian Fanzo, or better known as iSocialFans on social media. He's like a social media guru from the US. who has a great podcast that I really, really like listening to it, and who really provides value to me a lot.
Can you repeat his name?
Brian Fanzo or iSocial Fans.
iSocial Fans. We'll put the link in the show notes of this interview, and I must say, it's not easy for me to say, but I must say, I haven't heard of him.
He's great.
Yeah, so now I'm going to listen. You know, there are so many factors that affect and help people in their success, but I believe that there's always one main factor that is the most critical for each one of us. And I want to ask you, what is this one main factor for you? What is your key success factor?
Well, my key success for surely Katja, my wife, because without her, nothing of this ever would have happened. Nothing would have been possible. So she's supporting me since a long, long time in every aspect of life, and being a great sparring partner and friend along the way is my main success factor. Without her, everything would be nothing.
Wow. Wow. What a great answer. My last question before I ask you what is the best way to connect with you is my mountain question. As I always say, I imagine this journey of taking ownership of an idea or of a brand in the mind of the customer. I always imagine that as climbing mountains. And I love to ask my guests, did you ever climb a mountain, or you wish to climb a mountain, or you plan on climbing mountains? Do you have any relationships with mountains at all? And I'm talking about physical mountains.
Yeah. So on the one hand, I'm a North German and I'm half Dutch. So what I consider a mountain is more like the height of a dike. And I climb dikes quite often because I love the sea. But to climb a mountain, I really like also the nature of the Alps. So if I could choose and I would have the time to do a large hike, it would be somewhere in southern North Tyrol or Austria or Germany, somewhere in the Alps during summertime.
The Alps. Yeah. That's great. Okay, we'll put a photo of the Alps in your show notes. And now I would like to ask you, what is the best way for anyone of our listeners that want to be in touch and contact you? What is the best way to connect with you?
Great. I just started my YouTube channel a few weeks ago, and I would love to have more subscribers there. So if you would hit the subscribe button there, I would really appreciate that.
That's great.
But if you want to be in contact with me or come into contact, just, you know, contact with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter, write me an email, or when I'm at a conference where you are, to just, you know, hit me up, and I'm happy to have a coffee.
That's great. And your YouTube channel is on your name, of Robin Kira?
Yes, on the Digital Scouting YouTube channel.
Digital Scouting. Okay, and we'll of course have that in the show notes. And Robin, I would like to thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you
so much for coming today and for talking with us. It was so interesting.
Thank you very much, Hayut. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.